chapters of the book of Revelation, we're given a glimpse of what we can expect to see in the new heaven for the first time. Thank you for joining us on the coastalshores.org website. Tonight's message is going to cover Revelation 21, verses 1 through 27. Because we live in this present imperfect world, we don't have any comprehension of what perfect looks like or resembles. We have nothing to compare with the perfection of the original creation. For those of us who are older or who have already experienced some form of infirmity, life in a state of perfection is incomprehensible. So even though we are being given a glimpse of heaven in God's word, we really don't understand. So let's begin Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Life on this planet we call earth and home would not be possible if it were not for water. We need the oceans as a source of medium for marine life to occupy and as a supply of moisture for the continents and plant life that is a source of food for us. We are made up of a high percentage of water ourselves. So this first statement about the sea is significant. In general, there are things that we must consider about the sea. It is a symbol of restlessness and separation between lands and nations. In the new heaven and earth, there will be only one nation, the nation of God's people. We no longer need separation, as we are all of one source of birth, the Holy Spirit. Restlessness gives way to peace. And in the burning up and melting of the elements, the oceans and the seas will be dissolved. Any water spoken of will be literal and will comprise the river of life. So let's move on. Revelation 21, 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We must emphasize the distinction between the earthly Jerusalem, which was burned up, according to 2 Peter, and the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. 2 Peter 3:10 tells us, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." This city, the New Jerusalem, will not be like the old earthly Jerusalem, but will be made up of the citizens of God living in the city of God on the new earth, costlier and more glorious than anything that we can imagine. It bears no semblance to the old Jerusalem, but is direct from heaven, as the earth could not have contained nor supported the New Jerusalem. It will be paradise and the Garden of Eden all rolled up into one new creation. The new Jerusalem will be as radiant as a bride coming to her wedding, and the bride will be composed of the blessed citizens living in the holy city. Revelation 21, 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and he shall be their God." You know, there are times when we as mere humans don't quite understand the language of the Bible. When I think about a tabernacle, I think about the tabernacle in the wilderness, whose form was given to Moses by God. Yet there are other forms of tabernacles, and the book that we are currently studying mentions the various forms in several locations. For example, Revelation 11:19 tells us, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. That's what I think about when I think about the tabernacle. And then in Revelation 15:5 it says, and after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. Revelation 13:6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. To get a better understanding of the phrase, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, we need to refer back to earlier expressions of the word and its usage. We've been told that Jesus would tabernacle with us, and also that during his earthly life, he tabernacled with us. Thereby the phrase, dwell with us. The use of this word can have various meanings. It's not just a structure, but can be a relationship. No wonder we have difficulty understanding. One thing that we can be sure of is that God is going to be with us and to be our God. Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know, I do find it strange that there would be tears in heaven. Now, maybe it's referring to tears of joy. Surely it wouldn't be tears of sorrow. I don't know what kind of tears. I just know one thing. God himself shall wipe away all tears, no matter what kind they are. Then everything of discomfort to us will be removed. Death, sorrow, crying, pain. They have passed away with the old earth and heaven. Revelation 21:5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Jesus is the one speaking, and everything has been made new. Nothing of the old life or times exists any longer, including memories. You can count on that because Jesus said it when he said, behold, I make all things new. Revelation 21:6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. In verses 5 and 6, the Trinity comes together as one. What pertained to Jesus now pertains to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. Our finite minds cannot wrap themselves around this truth. We know and believe it's true, but we will not understand until we get to the place in our existence when we are in heaven. Revelation 21:7-8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You realize these two verses establish the boundaries for eternity. Everyone will fit into one verse or the other. This is not a negotiable situation. A person either fits into the one verse or the other, not both. There are people that think that they can live with one foot on each side of the fence, but these two verses say that that won't work. Taking inventory in this life is not a bad thing, particularly if there is a possibility that we need to do some repenting and making some changes. Revelation 21:9-10. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Verses 9 and 10 are transition verses. John is going to now be shown the holy city, Jerusalem, and he will attempt to give us a description of it using his limited knowledge of the spectacular. So let's begin our glimpse of what heaven is going to look like. Revelation 21, 11 through 13. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great wall and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written therein, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. Let's start with the light. Light comes in different forms. There's yellow light, which can be uncomfortable to try and read by. But then there is white light that shows everything clearly. And that's the kind of light that John sees here. Next, John sees a great wall, which is a little deceiving because we haven't been told about the dimensions of the city itself. And when we think about a wall without understanding the structure behind the wall, we might envision the wall without an understanding of the structure. I'm going to jump ahead 3 verses and tell you at this point that the city measures 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep, by 1,500 miles high. You most likely will not be able to see the end or the top of the city. It's going to be huge. Okay, back to the wall. John saw 12 gates through which the city may be entered. Stationed at each gate was an angel. The Bible doesn't tell us the purpose that the angel served in being there, but I'm sure that it had something to do with the kind of person permitted to enter. Each gate had the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. We're not specifically told, but I would assume that the names would be the same as the names in chapter 7 of the 12 tribes that were sealed. That would mean that the tribe of Dan would not be represented. Manasseh would take its place. Each wall had 3 gates. Revelation 21, 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So here we see the names of the 12 apostles, which brings up a question. Which 12 apostles? In the early church, the 11 apostles chose Matthias to take the place of Judas. Later, Barnabas was referred to as an apostle. It would be my opinion that Paul would most likely be the 12th apostle, since he spent 3 years in the Arabian desert with Jesus, and he refers to himself as an apostle called by Jesus. We can all find out when we get to heaven. Revelation 21, 15 and 16. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and is the length is as large as a breadth. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth of the height of it are equal. And as I said a minute ago, 12,000 furlongs is 1,500 miles in each direction. He measured the wall thereof. 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. The wall was 216 feet high. Let's look at how the wall was constructed. Revelation 21, 18 and 20. The building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth the topaz, the tenth the christophysis, the 11th the jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. Now I'm going to have to be the first to admit I do not recognize the different gemstones. What I do recognize is that the wall would be beautiful to look at, all of the color and the transparency. Verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Here is where we get the information that the streets are of gold. I don't know why gates were needed for the city, since they would never be closed because there would never be a night there. Revelation 21, 22 through 23. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Just as right now, saved or born again people are the temple of the Holy Spirit on earth. God and Jesus will be the temple of heaven in eternity. Jesus will also be the light of heaven. He was the light of the world and the spiritual light of the world, and he will be the source of light for heaven and the New Jerusalem. Verses 24 through 26. And the nation of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. I think by now there's just one thing I can say. Heaven will be a wonderful place. Finally, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And with that verse, I sure hope that each of you listening to my voice tonight know that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, for giving us this glimpse of what heaven might be like. And Father, as we wait on the Lord Jesus Christ to come back for his bride, help us to remain faithful. Help us to do the things that you have purposed for each one of us when you saved us. Father, everyone has a purpose. We know that. Your word tells us that. Help us to remain faithful to your purpose. And one day, Father, may we gather before your throne and celebrate what Jesus Christ did for us and how he redeemed us and bought us. And Father, may you be glorified, may Jesus be lifted up, and may your will be done, and we will praise you for all that you do in our lives. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.